text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waters broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? You still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." There are puzzles in this text. What does it mean that the disciples took Jesus along just as he was? What happened to all the other boats? How come Jesus rebukes the wind and waves as if they were personal beings? But none of these are as amazing as the fact that Jesus sleeps. Doesn't that amaze you? Your God sleeps. Actually, it's more than amazing, it's terrifying. The gods of mythology sleep. A god of Hinduism, Vishnu, sleeps. There's a famous statue of him doing so called the Sleeping God. False gods, gods who are no gods, sleep. Remember the confrontation between Elijah and the prophets of Baal? Elijah ridiculed Baal when his prophets couldn't get him to answer. 1 Kings 18 says, "At noon Elijah mocked them, saying, 'Cry aloud, perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened.'" False gods sleep. The true God does not. The Old Testament says so. Psalm 121:4. "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." So what gives with Jesus being asleep in a pitching boat in the midst of a storm? Remember who else did this? Jonah. No hero of the faith at the time, Jonah was running from God's call to go to Nineveh. Then God cast a mighty storm upon the sea, much like the one in our text. And where was Jonah? Jonah 1 reports, "He had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep." And then, much as the disciples did to Jesus, the captain of the ship came to Jonah and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps the God will give us a thought to us that we may not perish." Did you catch that? The pagan sea captain implies what the Christian disciples in our text say. "Perhaps your God will care enough to save us," implies the pagan sea captain. The Christian disciples say, "Don't you care if we drown?" But can you blame them really? Their God was asleep. Isn't that how we feel sometimes? With Psalm 44, we say, "Awake, why are you sleeping, O Lord? Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever." Hard times come, problems arise, health deteriorates, and of course we pray. But the winds blow louder and the waves get bigger. The little boat of our life begins to fill up. As ever bigger waves break over the railing, we think, "Where's God? Doesn't he know what I'm going through? Doesn't he care?" We pray, we beg, we bargain, we despair. As we are increasingly tempted to believe that our God sleeps, sleep is chased from us. God may not be up late worrying about us eating the bread of sorrow, but we sure are. I know what some of you sticklers are thinking. Some of you sticklers for details are thinking, "Well, does God sleep or not?" Well, you heard the passage that says God neither slumbers nor sleeps. Yet here we have a text where Jesus, God in flesh and blood, is sound asleep. So which is it? Does God sleep or not? Yes, God in Christ did sleep. But far from terrifying you, that should comfort you. Jesus, sound asleep, proves how completely human the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, is. We read in the parable last week of that man who sowed seed, slept, and not knowing how the seed grew. In sleep, we're dead to the world. We don't know what's going on around us. In Jesus, the one eternal true God knows what that's like. He knows the phenomenon of sleep, which scientists still don't understand. He knows what it means to be sleepy, to have that sense of falling asleep so much that you jerk yourself awake. And Jesus knows in his flesh and blood what you do in yours. Sleep is eerily close to death. Psalm 13 speaks of sleeping the sleep of death. The Greeks considered sleep and death so closely related that in their mythology, the god of sleep was the twin brother of the god of death. In heaven, there's not only no death, but no need for sleep either, because there's no night there. There is, however, a night here. And Jesus knows what it's like to come to that night exhausted, weak, worn out, and down. He knows how mothers feel after a long day of running after kids. He knows how dads feel after a long day at work. He knows what you mean when you say that you are dead tired. He knows how you feel when you're not able to keep your eyes open because the day has taken everything out of you. Even in Eden, Adam and Eve got tired from working the garden. That's a good feeling. The book of Ecclesiastes says, "The sleep of a working man is sweet." The bitterness of our sleep comes from sin. And wonder of wonders, comfort of comforts, Jesus, the perfect man who is God in flesh and blood, knows the bitterness that comes from our sinfulness. Though without any sins of his own and without our inherited sinfulness, Jesus suffered the bitterness of both. Jesus is exhausted at day's end from carrying our sins, carrying our sorrows, carrying our sicknesses. Day in and day out, he labored to keep God's holy law under this load. I took one of my children with me for a week of hunting. With me, there was lots of work, no excuses, and little sympathy for any difficulty. The child did everything I asked, was on the best behavior, never complained, never whined. We weren't home for an hour when virtually for no reason the child burst into tears. That's what just a week of trying your hardest, watching your every move, always performing to standard, will do to sinners like us. It exhausts mentally, spiritually, physically. Jesus lived under the holy law of God a whole lifetime. In our flesh and blood, under our guilt and shame, Jesus kept all of God's laws. He always performed to standard. His life was a constant better, ought, have to, must. No wonder Jesus was worn out at the end of the day. Jesus asleep in the stern of the boat shows you just how difficult that was for Jesus. We do Jesus and ourselves a grave disservice when we think of Jesus' service under the law as easy for him because, well, after all, he is God in flesh and blood. True, but it was him for us. Jesus didn't use his divine powers to fulfill the law any more than he used them to defeat the devil. His keeping of the law wouldn't have been in your place if he had. Maybe that's why you view the law as something that still needs doing or else. Maybe that's why it hangs constantly over your head. Jesus was too much God to be keeping the law in your place. Wrong. Jesus being sound asleep proves that he kept the law in your place. At the end of each day, an exhausted Jesus offered up his perfect life in your place, and God the Father examined it with a microscope and said, "My law is done, my law is completed, my law is finished, my law is fulfilled." To which we are to say in full faith, Amen. But the sleeping Jesus proves more than he fulfilled the commandments for us in some general way. It proves he fulfilled the chief one in particular. He fulfilled the one that we think we have no problem keeping, yet we break always. The first commandment. Jesus being sound asleep proves he had no other gods. It proves he feared, loved, and trusted God above all things. Proverbs 3 says that for the righteous, when you lay down, you will not be afraid. When you lay down, your sleep will be sweet. Jesus was righteous. He slept so soundly because he feared God more than any storm at sea. He loved what God willed, even if that meant death. He trusted in God more than he did the seaworthiness of the boat. The Bible tells us specifically that the righteous are not to fear what the wicked fear. They are not to be afraid of sudden destruction coming upon them. They aren't to think that unless they are constantly vigilant, something bad is going to happen to them or the ones they love. Such thinking on our part proves we're not righteous, and it leads to sleeplessness. Jesus, however, was righteous. He didn't think that way, and so he slept peacefully. Sometimes when we toss and turn in the howling seas of life, it's because we do not fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And even in the moments that we do, like Peter in another storm at sea, all it takes is for a bigger than usual wave, a stronger than usual wind, to sink us in utter unbelief. But not Jesus. He lays his body, his soul, his life, the future, the past down in sleep, trusting that his Father will keep that which he commends to him. But do not think the answer is to do what Jesus did. You will fail. The answer is in what Jesus did here. Jesus, as true God, has the power to rebuke the wind and the waves in your life. We can do neither. Structures that men build to block the wind, they're blown over. Sea walls that men build to stop the waves are breached and broken by those very waves. But Jesus having the power to rebuke the wind and wave in your life is still small comfort, because God has always had the power to control wind and wave. The comfort in this text is that as a true man, Jesus has the power and the right to do the rebuking and the controlling. For us men and for our salvation. He won that right by keeping the law perfectly in our place as a man and by suffering and dying to pay for our not keeping that law. Did you notice, even when the disciples came to Jesus in their utter sinfulness, questioning his love and care for them, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Still, Jesus answered their prayer. Though they were being cowards, though they still had no faith in him, despite what they had seen him do before, despite what they had heard him promise, he still saved them from the wind and the waves, from the demons and their sinfulness that was about to swamp them. Do you think Jesus will do less for you? Do you think he does not know or care about the waves and the wind that are rocking the boat of your life? Do you think you have forfeited the right to call upon him in your day of trouble because you have not believed hard enough, have not been good enough, and have not believed long enough? Well, you should think again. Judy Collins sings about Jesus only being able to be seen by drowning men. Drowning men and women see that the God who shared their sleep and sleeplessness is close enough and loves them enough to use all of his power to bring them safe into the haven of heaven. He might command the winds that batter your boat to be quiet, and he might order the waves that swamp your boat to be still. But even if the wind and the waves of this life drown you, he will raise you. Your death will be no more than a sleep from which you can easily be awakened by the God who slept. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.